What is up, everybody? Orlando here with another episode of our Follow the Plan podcast series, a part of our On Cue podcast. And today I sat down with Brian Little, a brown belt at Six Blades Jiu-Jitsu Fort Worth here at Team Maha. A good friend of mine I've known for about 5 years and just an all-around good guy. We sat down, had a good conversation in his garage, so you might hear a little bit of background noise, but the conversation still went well. We had a nice cold beer together and just talked about our feelings on jiu-jitsu, the fight sports, and life in general. Brian is a very contributing member of society, an involved member of our community, and just a great guy. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks for listening. All right, cool, man. First off, thanks for taking the time to sit down with me today.
Thank you, man. Yeah. This is really exciting.
Yeah, super excited. we've known each other for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how long. When did you move into the apartment?
That was 2016. But you had been there a while.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So 2016.
And then I was there a year, and Pamela moved in, and then you were out. Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Did Nicole exactly. move Shortly in for after. A couple?
Yeah, I moved out in... In 18, so yeah, cool. So 5 years we've known each other, and we found out very quick that we both had a passion for the fight sports, if you will, particularly mixed martial arts and jiu-jitsu, but fight sports in general, boxing and other things. But I think we probably both agree that we can narrow it down to mixed martial arts and jiu-jitsu. You were telling me you were training somewhere, and I hadn't trained in quite some time. And you invited me out, and I never took the leap of faith. And then Lionel opened up our jiu-jitsu school now right next door to my office. And I figured that was a sign that I might as well quit being fat and lazy, put my gi back on, and fell in love with Lionel and his way of teaching. And the school was very small at the time. And I told you, hey, why don't you come check it out? Come to Open Mat or something, you know? And here we are now. You got your brown belt, you're training with us full time, and I'm glad, man, because you're an integral part of our school. Everyone enjoys having you on the mat, and you and I can converse about things other than just jiu-jitsu, and I always enjoy it, so thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you to the listeners, and a word from our sponsors. So going back to, I was inviting you, I invited you at least twice, if not more, I can't remember, but at least twice. It's like, hey, come out, you know, just like we did the workout just now. We didn't go balls to the wall, but just to get a feel of things. So I invited you out. So when you invited me out, I hopped on the opportunity right away. I didn't want it to be another failed opportunity to be able to roll with you. And then figures out we come from... different parts of the country. You were up in Montreal?
Vermont. Training in Montreal quite a bit. Yeah.
And then I ran through a couple schools, and so getting your perspective and then my perspective, and we have the same goal. You know, tomorrow's 43.
That's right. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm just training to be in shape, and to be ready and to have that confidence if something ever happens. That, I don't know, when I was younger, I would get in street fights and beat my chest. And now that I am trained, when a situation arises, I'm as cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, you know, I tell people that all the time. People who don't train jiu-jitsu, you know, if I'm out at a local bar or a restaurant or just having beers with a guy or whatever, these type of things come up. And, you know, for people who train jiu-jitsu regularly, you know, I'm just barely a blue belt. I've been training from the time I began to now, it's been 10 years, but there was a 5-year gap and, you know, now 2 ACLs. So when it comes to other people who train jiu-jitsu, my skill's not, I still have a lot to learn. But compared to the average Joe walking down the street, I do have that confidence because I know when I walk into a place, I mean, look, you can always get knocked out. Something could always happen. You can't catch a bullet with your teeth. But in a hand-to-hand situation where I had to defend myself or someone else, there's a high likelihood, regardless of how big a guy is, I'm probably going to be all right. And it's probably going to suck for him. And that's even a guy like myself who's, I've lost a lot of weight. I'm not a big guy. I'm not intimidating anyone. I'm not going to scare anyone off of a situation. And since I've had that, since I've got the training, I'm the same way. I mean, I unfortunately coming up fought often. And because of, I guess, a nature, you know, someone can shit on me all they want, talk crap to me, and it doesn't bother me. But unfortunately, I have a very short fuse when it comes to defending my friends or loved ones or other people. And I know that. I recognize it. But I have done better with it because I know that, for one, it's not that serious of a deal. But also I know that it's probably going to be an unfair fight anyway because I'm probably going to hurt the person. I'm probably going to take a knee with me or an arm or something like that. And that's not my goal in life. I don't want to hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. So I do have the confidence to know that I can defend myself, but I'm the same way. I'm not walking around, you know, my buddy's like, oh, you're Billy Badass because you used to fight or you know jiu-jitsu. It's like, actually, it's the complete opposite. You learn so much humility and humbleness that you typically, at least I typically, avoid those situations now. Speaking of fighting, so you actually, how many MMA fights did you have?
I took 7 amateur fights.
7 amateur fights, that's right. I know I watched one or two of them at your house.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I showed you on the phone at the gym.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But the first was 2012, started training 2009, and a couple months, if not a month after training, I was training with Travis Luter, said, Trav, you know, I want to take a fight. And he said, I want you to wait until you get your blue belt. And that was 2 years away. So I'm 32. He wanted me to take my first fight when I was 34. And I was like, even as a 34-year-old, he's like, even as a 34-year-old, and I am so glad I did. So even as a blue belt, it is black and white with someone who's not trained on the ground.
Right.
And then second fight, I went to San Antonio. It's funny, I know all these guys' names. Josh Ramirez was the first guy up in Amarillo, then went to San Antonio, fought on the card with Bobby Alexander, who he's got to be a black belt under Travis now, and then Kevin Holland was on the card.
Cool, real
Kevin
cool.
Holland was the main event. I was the second fight. Going down there, I told everybody, we're going 3 for 3.
Right.
3 wins, 3 fights, 3 wins. I'm the first fight. I lose the first round. This guy, at the end of the round, had me against the cage and delivered a knee to my liver. And it was like, you know, a millimeter, and it would have put me on my knees. It was, I could feel it, but it wasn't detrimental.
You were able to continue.
Correct. Second round comes out, total 180 switch.
Nice.
End up taking the guys back. He's scrammed out of it, I get mount, and just free swinging on this guy. And this guy was so tall, he kind of does a back roll and puts his legs around my torso to kind of drag me and put me on my back. Ding, ding, the bell rings. So I was like fortunate. And then the third round come out, and I was pretty tired. And I think I obviously did enough to win. And that guy's name was Ty Lassiter, and we still keep in touch here and there. Third fight, went back up to Amarillo. Guy's name was Kyler Kirkwood. We had fought in Amarillo on that first card, so he knew who I was, but I didn't know. I mean, I recognized him when I met him, and because we had a talk after our fights the first time, and but I didn't know who he was, and you know, he's 2-0, I'm 2-0, and we're the main event.
Wow.
I'm fucking stoked.
That's cool.
We are the main event. Kevin came up with me to corner me. So it was Kevin and then this girl I was dating, her name was Ani at the time. And they cornered me.
Did she change her name or is that still her name?
Yeah, Anya Zagraka. She was the coolest. I owe the world to this girl because she had me go back to EMT school. And now I'm a nurse. And she really helped me get on the right track. Unfortunately, we did not end on good terms. But I think the world of her. Okay, so Kyler Kirkwood, I take him down right away. I get bound, and this guy bumps me off, reverses me, ground and pounds, concussion right away. I didn't know it at the time, but now that I look back on it, I had a concussion from the hits that I took. And then after that, it was pretty much back and forth, but he won the fight because of that. And then I had a concussion afterwards, and that lasted for maybe a week, concussion-like symptoms. So we get in the car after the fight, and I'm driving. I don't think I have a concussion, and we're going to eat somewhere, and next thing you know, Anya says, "Where are we going?" And we're driving in the fucking country somewhere. And
I said, you were driving.
Fucking. Wow. Roses is right up here. I went here last time. It's got to be right around the corner. And then fourth fight, went back down to San Antonio. No. That was here. Josh Healy in Arlington. And there... It's not an octagon. It's a square cage. It was for XKO.
Okay.
No. I'm sorry. Okay. That was in a ring. Josh Healy and we still run into each other every once in a while. And that was a pretty one-sided decision. I had a couple of attempts for submissions. I took his back at the end of the fight. And had I had two more seconds, even he said, I would have tapped. Wow. So that was fun. And then, of course, everybody was there. And it's makes a world of difference when everybody comes out to support you. Fifth fight, went back down to San Antonio. I can't remember that guy's name. He was a Marine. He must have took me down 10 times for first round.
Wow.
It was just dumped me, back to the feet, dumped me. And then the second round, he ended up throwing a kick to my side, and I wrapped it up. And I punched him and broke his nose, which I wouldn't find out until later. Yeah. And the second round went to me. And then the third round, he ended up taking my back. And I guess they award points for kind of like advantages in jiu-jitsu. They'll award, especially refs, if they know what's going on. There's a lot of refs, even in UFC, that they're just... go off aggression and octagon control and
what they prefer. The things that maybe they prefer.
Right.
Yeah.
What I can't stand is when if you go like we went to actually that the next night we stayed down there and the promoter of our fight had tickets sold us tickets to the UFC was down there. The main card was Jeremy Stevens versus Cub Swanson, and throughout the night, like I remember hearing. Tie up. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck tie. What does tie up mean?
Right.
You want them to hug each other.
Yeah.
And then they're booing when they're on the ground, and like you hear Rogan commentating, and he's like, "These guys are doing a lot of work. You know, they're down there. They're looking for put their opponent in positions, but people don't see that. They want the knockouts, just like in baseball." How
everybody wants the home runs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. They don't appreciate the situations, the sacrifice bunts. That's what I like.
Yeah.
So what was that? Five? That was fifth one. Sixth one. I'm missing one. Anyways, the last one, Brandon Chandler. He was a black belt judo alternate for the Olympics.
Wow.
And I said, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Did he throw you out of the ring or what? Did he throw you out of the cage?
Almost. I don't remember the fight.
Oh, really?
I might have taken a slight concussion because he initially, like I'd watched video on him and he was like doing like little pad work. And I was like, this guy, I'm going to fucking knock this dude out. He threw a jab and it knocked my head back so far. I was like, what the fuck? And then after that, I really don't know what happened. But apparently my brother came out from California. My parents were there, never been to a fight before. And I had knocked this guy down. Like I threw an overhand left and I put him on the ground and I charged him right away. And he was up against the fence and he wall walked. and did his fucking judo magic on me. Next thing you know, I'm on my back. I'm in the mount. He's got the arm bar. After the fight, talking with him, he said, I felt like your arm was going to break. I don't know how you held on to that. And I was able to get out of the arm bar. And then I'm up against the fence. And he's on top. And he's kind of digging these fucking hooks into me. And they called the fight. And I think it would have been a flash knockout. Because the flash knockout is when you go down.
Yeah.
Or you get hit. But then you come back to, like, if your head hits the canvas. And I'm jumping around. I don't know if I won or lost. You know, I'm just, you know, excited to be there. And so he ends up winning that. And then my brother, he had been saying you shouldn't be fighting at your age.
And how old were you at this time?
Oh, 36.
Okay.
36, 37. And decided just to do jiu-jitsu. Wouldn't say I fell into a depression, but really missed the nutritional aspect, the training regimen, the camaraderie with other fighters. And then just started doing jiu-jitsu and kind of have incorporated what I had learned in the past to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, you know, that's cool you mentioned the camaraderie, and a lot of people don't understand that about competing and about fighting in general, because they think that when you're fighting, you know, you have to hate each other and dislike each other. I always have this cool story. Actually, I was recovering from my first ACL, my left leg, and I was at a wedding up in Vermont. And I was out in the middle of the country. And this was a few years after. So I took 7 fights as well as an amateur boxer. No mixed martial arts sanctioned fights. And this guy comes up to me. I didn't recognize him. And he's like, hey, man, you know, I'm Tom C. and Chad. I remember his name. And he goes, do you remember me? And I was like, ah. Man, I recognize the name. He goes, yeah, you beat the hell out of me a few years ago, Golden Gloves, you know?
Oh,
and I was like, oh, man, we had beer together. We had a good time, and we've kept in touch. And, you know, same thing, not great, but Facebook and these type of things. And we had a good time. I was married at the time, and he was, I think, engaged. And, you know, the four of us just hung out all night. And, you know, just a few years earlier, we were trying to beat the hell out of each other. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. And I think a lot of it is, because if you're fighting and I'm fighting, we both know what goes into it if you're doing it right. And we're putting ourselves in a position, it's different than team sports. I grew up with team sports, but when you get in the ring or the cage or even on the mat and jiu-jitsu, it's just you. At the end of the day, you have coaches trying to help you in the corner, but at the end of the day, you're locking yourself in a ring or a cage with another human being that is trying to do anything they can to keep you from winning within the rule set. And I think that goes a long way when it comes to camaraderie. You know, there are guys that dislike each other, and that's natural as well. But there is a certain level of camaraderie that is admired, at least from my position, about that. It's there, you have a bond with something. For instance, you haven't fought in 5, 6 years, 7 years now, and you can still recall all of those fights that you were in with those guys. And that's probably something you'll take to the grave with you, those memories. Mm-hmm. You know, we think about memories in life, and there's all different types, but That plays a big role in it, I think, is you shared, there's 7 nights of your life you shared with these gentlemen that you tried to beat the hell out of each other. And that's just something, it's a cool story. When we get old and we're doing this like we are now, having a few beers and talking to other people about it, you'll be able to say, hey, I did it. I got in the cage, I got in the ring, whatever it is, and I competed. And at your age, you were doing it, you probably knew. Maybe you would get hot and all of a sudden you'd score some contract, but the probability of that happening was low. You were doing it for the love of the sport, the love of the competition, the camaraderie. Am I wrong?
Well, that was the plan, was to get hot and to be on the Ultimate Fighter and to get the contract. And at least I wanted to take one pro fight. If that would have been in the UFC, that would have been fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But after, you know, 2 decision wins and then a decision lost, I knew I didn't have that, what it takes. I mean, I knew I had it because I had put people down before in sparring, but I just couldn't find to turn it on in the cage. And
That's what amazes me about some of these guys. Andrei Arlovsky just won.
Cool, did he win?
Yeah. These guys that are still winning on that level.
Decision?
Yeah, unanimous decision. At that age, you know, because the reality is, like all high-level sports, it's a young man's sport. But these old guys that are doing it, you know, I say old, they're our age or a few years younger, that are still doing it. It's really impressive because the reality is, especially now, you know, at our age, when we were getting into it, the sport was still young. But now you have these kids that are coming up training the way kids grew up playing t-ball. These kids are in jiu-jitsu, like at our school, at a young age, wrestling, boxing, pre-teens. So by the time they get to 22, 23, they've already mastered, they're already masters. They've been in it for 10 years. And at guys our age, that was very rare. Most guys had a little bit of one thing or the other, and they had to learn everything as they came up. Why don't we take a quick break here, and we'll come right back. Quick word from our sponsors, and we'll carry on some more conversation about jiu-jitsu, fighting, and life in general, because you have an interesting life that I'd like to talk about.
Done. So, touching back on when you invited me, I didn't have any expectations. I was just going for free training to Hibero, which is now Six Blades. Met Lee. Now, I don't even think you were there the first time I showed up.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. You told me, you're like, hey, I showed up or something. I went, sweet.
Like I said, just going for free training, you know, training with different people. Because it's different when you train with the same people and then you go to a competition and you're like, wow.
Yes.
It just feels different. So I showed up and Lionel's teaching De La Riva, X-Gar, but he's not just teaching that. He is showing how you get it from the stand-up, you know? You're going to pull mount and throw the De La Riva in and then grab the collar and this and that. And to where as the gym, the Travis Luters, Wes Gans, nothing bad to say about any of those guys, but I mean the world of them. They mean the world to me. I still keep in touch with Wes, but it was kind of like they're asking, well, all right, class, what do you guys want to learn today? Or we're going to go over Kimura. And, you know, as I was started at Wes as a blue belt, and as a blue belt, it's like, all right, let's learn something else. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I've drilled all these positions, you know, hundreds of times. Now I'm sure there's ways that they could have shown me to make them better, but the stuff that Lionel is teaching is I feel like a fucking white belt.
Yeah, that's what I like, is that for one, it is very pure jujitsu. This is just my opinion, my humble opinion. I've been blessed enough to train with a bunch of different people. Even at my low level, I've been able to train at a bunch of different places. But the other thing is, it's well thought out. He treats it like a school, and that's why I call it school. I call it, you know, I'm going to school, because there is a weekly, what's the word I'm looking for? It was just right on the tip of my tongue. But, you know, there is a curriculum, and the classes are planned out for the week, and whatever he starts at the beginning of the week climaxes and finishes at the end of the week, and it slowly builds. So he teaches, you know, how to get to the position, for instance. And then he teaches the offense, and then he teaches the defense, and then he teaches generally 2 to 4 different variations or parts of the, you know, it's every day for the week is planned out. It's not just show up and do jiu-jitsu.
Well,
there is a curriculum.
So he shows the position, and you drill it, and then Bohada.
Yeah. And then, that's right. And that's the big part, is that every day, We are sparring every day. You are going to get in there, and you're going to have a lot of time to just get mat time. And I think that's so important personally. You know, we can show up early, we can stay late, you can drill, you can go over the things that he teaches, there's video, all of the other things. But he's going to make sure there's time for us to get in there and get our rounds in.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to hit the position of the day on somebody, but if you try it, you might get it. And then once you get it on someone, and then you're going to get it on someone else. Then you're going to get it on a blue belt. Then you're going to try it on a purple belt, and I doubt it, you'll get it. But until you become really proficient.
And I try to tell people, they're like, well, how do you always talk about how jiu-jitsu is so How you can use what you learn in jiu-jitsu in life. And that's a big one. What you just said is that, you know, you might not get it. The skill of the week, the move of the week, whatever we're learning, but you got to try it. You got to try to apply it. And I do that a lot in life because I've learned that through jiu-jitsu. I learned something from you. I learned something from one of my good friends. I read something, I hear something, and I'm like, wow, I like that. That sounds like that'll work in my life. And then when I get into a situation, whether it's confrontational, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's professional, then I try to apply it. And it doesn't always work. But as I continue to attempt it, I get better at it. And I figure out, okay, well, that worked for Brian in his professional setting. And I tried it in my professional setting that way. And it doesn't work perfectly. But if I just hone those skills and I use them to my strengths and what works in my setting. And so it's very transferable, if you will. The things that I learned in jiu-jitsu, I can apply through life. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I do that often.
I feel like a better person spiritually. I feel like a better husband. I feel like if I didn't do it, I'd be right back to where I was when I started, struggling to pay bills, you know, just kind of the laundry, sitting in the laundry basket, not wanting to be full. But now it's like, I want to do laundry. I want to empty the dishwasher so I can make jiu-jitsu on time.
Right, right. So speaking of life, so you mentioned being a husband, you and Pam have been married now.
Three in April.
I know sometimes that's a dangerous question to ask a man, but you remember, so that's
I figure if we get through five, we're set for life.
I remember when y'all first met. You know, I'm one of the few people that get to say that. Like, I remember when you first started dating. You know, you were talking about Pam. You're like, yeah, it's cool. This chick's pretty cool. Next thing you know, she's living with you, and she's my new neighbor. And I got to watch it all, and it's been really fun, man. It's been really great.
You had texted me and said, hey, I'm going to XKL Fights out in Dallas.
That's right.
Do you want to come? And I said, when she was over, and I said, well, I'm working tonight, but if you don't have anybody, and you want to take Pam along.
Yeah, that's right. I took her.
And you said she was talking, like, under her voice, like, talking shit about girls, and you were like, whoa, 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 don't. And then she does that. It's kind of people that don't train.
Right.
They'll fucking run their mouths and put themselves in situations. And that situation, even as a trained fighter, you don't want to be in.
No.
It's like, why? Lionel says this, and, you know, just walk away from the fight.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. That night we were out. Yeah, because I took her to the fights. Mm. That's right. And there were some other buddies there. I got some tickets to some fights, and you were like, hey, I can't go, but my girlfriend will go. Y'all were just dating, I think. It was brand new, I think, at the time. And I was like, sure. And we went. That's right. I forgot all about that.
So that brings me back to fighting in the octagon. Anything can happen in the octagon. There's a set of rules, but anything can happen. One of the guys can be having a bad night. His weight cut couldn't have gone as planned. But when you get into the street, there ain't fucking nothing out there
that's gonna
help you besides your hands. And you thinking you're gonna be squaring off with one guy, and next thing you know, a fucking pool cue hits you in the back of the head.
Right.
Or a fucking chair bounces off your knee. But yeah, that's a situation you don't want to put yourself in. And I'm sorry she put you in that.
No, it's good. It's good. I mean, hey, everything, we got home fine, and it was good. So.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
It's all right.
She's been on the mat a handful of times.
Yeah.
And she tells people, she throws out arm bars. She tries to get people to come to the school. It's comical.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, that's all right, too, though. She supports the school. Yeah. She's glad that you're there. She supports you doing it. That's more than most, so that's great. It's all right. And you know what? That's what I say. Like, I wish... I said this in the last episode there when I sat down with Allie and Casey. I got to figure out a way to word this better because I don't know how to get across what my intentions are. I guess first I would say jiu-jitsu is not for everybody, right? Or I should say The way to say it is, I think jiu-jitsu is for everybody, but not everybody's for jiu-jitsu because you're going to get beat up. You're going to be bruised. It sucks. You're going to lose. You're going to get hurt. Things are going to happen. Mm. But I wish everybody at some point in their life, look, she's come to a handful of classes. That's more than most people. Mm. And I think that's important. I wish everyone would do it. I wish it was a part of like common curriculum that everyone did a little bit of jiu-jitsu. You know, Andrew Yang talking about politics. I'm not saying I agree with his politics or I disagree, but I don't know if you remember, before the last presidential election, he was talking about
every cop needs a purple belt.
Every cop needs a purple belt. And I thought that was cool. I mean, look, the reality is it's probably not real, and because there would be a lot of guys getting purple belts who didn't deserve them. But the theory in itself is amazing, because if we had more police officers that had a training in jiu-jitsu, especially at that level, you know, talking about belts, he said that every police officer should be a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Everyone talks about being a black belt. One day if that happens for me, I can't see it right now, but I know that if I follow the plan,
all you got to do is keep training.
Keep training, and it can happen.
It will happen.
My goal in jiu-jitsu is I do want to become a purple belt one day. And that's purely because I enjoy teaching people. I'm not saying that I'm good at jiu-jitsu or I'm good at it. I do believe, this sounds a little egotistical, but I do believe that maybe I have a bit of, I don't know if you want to call it a gift or a blessing, but I do enjoy teaching people, and I think that I'm fairly good at it, whether it's at work, whether it's in jiu-jitsu. I used to train a lot of fighters that I really fell in love with. I love when I find something that I know is good and healthy, and I might have a little bit of knowledge. I love sharing that with people, and I love having a hand in helping someone grow. So I hope, and I think it's very attainable. I've been set back, obviously, with this knee, but that's what I've always been excited about in jiu-jitsu, is because once I get that purple belt, then at least if the opportunity ever comes and I'm asked to teach people on whatever level, I'll be able to do that. And so the purple belt level, I think, is the most important level in jiu-jitsu, because at that point you can become a coach. And so that idea, I think, is great. You know, that if every cop became a purple belt, that would be amazing.
Does Andrew Yang, does he train?
That's what I've always wanted to know, and I haven't looked it up, because if he believes,
someone was like, hey, when you're on Rogan, say that.
Right, because, really cool. And you know, I'm surprised I haven't looked that up. I'm going to do that when we're done, because
a lot of people train, which is cool. Like, a lot of celebrities train, and like, who's the Al Bundy guy?
Oh, yeah, what is his name? Ted Bundy, but it's right on the tip of my...
Ed O'Neill.
Yeah,
he got in at Torrance in the 90s. And
he's a legit black belt, from my understanding.
Yeah,
he's a
legit black belt.
There are people, and from my understanding, there's people, you know, all they do is get privates, and, you know, that's a little different. But when you get in there, you were talking earlier about when you go to different schools, training with different people. That's one thing that I love about our school. We talked about it in the last episode, is that it's the same school, it's the same curriculum, if you will, but there's almost like three different personalities, the morning class, noon class, and evening class.
Yeah.
And we've gotten so big now that you can show up on Saturday to open mat, which is free for everyone. Anyone from the community can show up if you think you're a Billy Badass and you want to see what it's like, or if you train at another school. Saturdays at Six Blades Jiu-Jitsu here in Fort Worth is free, 10 a.m. And that's what's great, is that everyone from our school shows up and you get to train with different people. And even though you're learning the same thing, you still get that wide variety of feel. You get those different roles from everyone. You don't have to go to other schools. Now, I still think it's healthy, you know, and that's my plan. I told Lionel this year, of course, I got hurt. So now it's my plan next year is to do a bit more traveling with jiu-jitsu and go into different schools. But if you don't, even at our school alone, there's so many different people, and there's the three different personalities, if you will, from the classes, that you can get a variety of roles without going anywhere else. Mm.
There's, if you ever, whenever you're free, I'm free, if you ever want to go down to Austin and train with Steve and Sanji and those guys.
That's my plan,
that
for sure.
That would be so cool. And then we just did a road trip out to California, and we drove through Palm Springs, and Steve, he's got his little brother Chris out there, and La Quinta. Zeus.
Yeah.
Zeus is out there too. And La Quinta, yeah. And but we were so
did you go train?
Comeback. No,
oh,
it was comeback. We had the three dogs in there too. Okay. It was kind of a handful. But yeah, that's on my top of the list. So whenever you want to go to Austin, we'll go to Austin. We can, you know, get
Oklahoma
an Airbnb.
City's not far away.
Oh man, dude, if we can get Airbnb, if we take a group of people down or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. It was really cool running into those guys at the tournament, the Nogi Worlds.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think 6 blades from around the country, maybe around the world. I'm not certain, but if I recall, I looked it up. I think that we had 66 competitors at Nogi Worlds from 6
really?
Blades. Yeah, from
cool.
all different levels. For everybody at our school and everyone in general, you know, I wish we had more time, but we'll have to do this again. But just so everyone can get to know you better. So we've talked a lot about fighting and jiu-jitsu. We mentioned Pam, your beautiful wife.
Oh,
but so you're a nurse. You just graduated. You just got, what? Explain to
nurse.
Me again. You're a male nurse.
LDN.
Yeah.
So it's a year of school. I had done RN, but I failed out really close to getting to the end, failed out. And I want to say I took 2 years off and wasn't going to go back to nursing school, was just done. And we got the house, and then I was like, all right, it's time to start making money. So I went to nursing school. I work at Johnson County Jail now as a nurse. A lot of face tattoos in jail.
Yeah.
and a lot of those tattoos that are on their faces, they're actually getting while they're in jail.
Wow.
Which is crazy. So there'll be a guard to 6 inmates, and one of the inmates will have shortness of breath, and all of a sudden it's a fucking emergency. They call medical. We run over there. We're like ambulances. And the guy has shortness of breath, and he's okay. But the guard brought him out of the cell, and the 5 guys are in the back giving each other tattoos.
Wow.
Or kicking the shit out of someone. It's kind of... I'm still learning.
How did you land? How did you land this gig with? Because how did you land this gig working in the jail system? Is there a passion there? Is it just a job? Or how does that
it's
work?
Just I'd done a clinical rotation there while I was in school, and I was full time at JPS, and they hired me as a graduate nurse without passing my board from that you have to
wow.
test with Texas. So they had hired me, so I jumped on the opportunity. I really enjoy it. It's not too much. There is some complicated aspects, like the med pass. They hire these med assistants to pass meds to the inmates. But then when med assistant, no shows, no calls or whatever, then the responsibility falls on us and we have to do it. And I'm fine with that, but the system they got's not
rough.
The greatest. So okay. I'm doing that, and then I'm doing PRN, which is as needed. So it's like once a week at employee health at JPS. And looking to go back to school, I have to retake my prereqs, which are anatomy and physiology 1 and 2. But I feel that having already done them, I can probably knock them both out in one semester.
So what's your goal professionally with your nursing? What are your hopes there?
I wouldn't say there's a goal, just to make money to train.
Yeah, I got you.
That's it, man.
So it's more survival. It's more
survival. I'm not looking to accumulate wealth. I'm just looking to ride by and, like I said, pay rent, pay the mortgage, you know, pay for jiu-jitsu. Car payment's already almost done, so that'll help out a lot.
Yeah.
How
does that feel to be able to say you're accustomed to saying pay rent, but you got a beautiful home now? And what's that like to
that's
say?
That's cool, man. That's really,
pay mortgage, right?
When you showed up, I was talking to one of the neighborhood kids. And so, I mean, we've almost been here 2 years now. I know the neighbors to the sides of me, but now I'm reaching out. We actually have been going over and playing baseball, which is good for them. But, I mean, I like taking some hacks and some balls, too,
yeah,
which
cool.
is cool. So it kind of works out both ways.
I really admire that about you because, you know, unfortunately, look, we can say men, women, I think it's important for everyone in society. But because of my background, my cultural black background, the way I was raised, I like when I see men such as yourself. You know, you asked me to work out before we did this, and I haven't worked out in months, but I did. And on our way to the park, which is two blocks away, I think you on the way there and the way back, you talk to three different kids. You're like, hey, we're playing ball at 4 o'clock. If you want to come out and play baseball, I think that's cool. That's important. You know, it builds community. It shows them that there's still people around that give a shit. And I admire that about you, because you have no vested interest in that beyond the fact that you want to be a good community partner and a good role model, which I believe you are. But I wanted to tell you that. I wanted to say that on here, that I really admire that. And I think it's rare nowadays, unfortunately. And I'm glad you do that. I hope that never stops.
Cool.
Yeah. Why do you do that?
I just like living... Our neighborhood, you know, there's this high school down the street, and they cut through our neighborhood and they speed and they run stop signs. And I have them on quote saying that they like to go through the shortcut so that they can get home, which is in another neighborhood. And so I have an assault by contact charge, because I was trying to divert these kids from coming down our neighborhood using those soccer flags over there.
Oh, wow.
And it's a big deal, and we'll get into it later. But, you know, I was talking to the detective, and he's trying to turn it on me, saying, had you not been out there, this wouldn't have happened. And do you have any kids? And I said, well, no. He's like, well, why do you care? I was like, this is our neighborhood. Right. I mean, there could be a kid out there. My dog could be in the street. You know, something can happen. Some really bad things can happen but I think we knocked in the bugs. Now they got patrols coming through here.
Nice.
When the kids get out of school. And that's all I wanted. I didn't want to be out there every day with the flags, right, doing my thing. So now that we got the attention, now it's up to them.
That's cool, man. I like to hear people still doing that. You know, it's going to suck for you whether you get the charges beat or whatever, but you were still willing to do that, to do what's right. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, to do the right thing and to make sure people aren't driving like idiots through the neighborhood. And I think we need more people. You know, that one could say that's the problem with our communities nowadays, is there's just not enough people that give a shit. Mm-hmm. And I admire that, man. I've recognized that with you, that you do care. You, whether it's at jiu-jitsu, you take time. Look, you're a brown belt now. You don't have to piss around with the white belts, but you do. You know, you take time to help people. When we were neighbors, you were always helping other neighbors, and you were always offering a lending hand. And I just wish that more people, in particular men like you and I, would do this more often. So thank you, and I'm glad you do that.
Cool, thanks.
Listen, I know we're pressed up against the clock, because you got to go play ball with the kids. All right, and... But there's a few other things I'd like to talk about with you, because I know you have strong feelings about. But what's it like for you? Look, America, in my opinion, in 40 years, I'm 40 years old now.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's more divided. No, no, no. We don't have to talk about the specifics of politics. But what I do want to hear your opinion about is, we get on the mat with everyone at school, at our jiu-jitsu school, and we roll. Mm. And we try to simulate killing each other as close as we can without hurting each other. And some of us agree with things socially, politically, religiously. Some of us don't. I have strong feelings about a lot of things, sometimes in line with some of your feelings and beliefs, I know, and sometimes completely opposite. But when you and I are on the mat, all of that goes out the window. None of it matters. What's that like for you? And is there a part of it that you do like or you don't like about that? That when we get on the mat, it's like a sacred place, in my opinion, because none of it matters. We're just trying to get better at jiu-jitsu, and what we individually take out of it is up to the user. It's up to the person. But how is that for you, knowing that sometimes there's people that are trying to choke you, or you're trying to choke that you know have a vast... not even a vast is not the right word, a completely opposite feeling politically, religiously, socially for you when you're on the mat with him?
There is a certain individual, Solomon, and he leans hard one way and I lean hard one way, and I think he's arrogant, and I probably wouldn't talk to him if I met him on the street. And when we get on the mat, he has... nothing but the best intentions for me, he gets the better of me every time, and he wants me to get better, and he sees growth in me, and he wants to see that continue, and we're brothers on the mat.
Yeah, and I admire that. You know, if you brought it up, and I can tell you this, I won't speak for the man, but it's I love that about you two guys, because I've gotten close with him, and I've gotten close with you naturally over the years, and I do see the differences, and there's some things I agree with you wholeheartedly on, and there's some things I agree with him wholeheartedly on, but I see you two interact, and sometimes it's awkward. It's awkward when you interact with each other verbally, but hearing you say that is great, because I've heard him say the same thing about you. And when you're on the mat, I see it, and I know others do, that when you're on the mat, your teammates, your friends, your brothers, and you both want each other to get better at jiu-jitsu. And I really admire that. I think that's just another area that jiu-jitsu bonds people, you know. So I think it's an interesting aspect, you know. I think it's very interesting that we can get on the mat, because there's very few places in our society that people can have such different views on things, on important issues, whether it's politics, religion, whatever it is, have such different views and still respect each other and still have respect for each other. There's very few places. And to me, that's what jiu-jitsu does. At the end of the day, none of that crap matters, because you're going to learn respect for each other, because you're going to choke the hell out of each other. You're going to beat each other up. And so I admire that about you two guys, and specifically. And I know it goes on with other people. A lot of people are quiet about it. You two are both outspoken socially and with other people at the school. But when you're on the mat, you hug each other, you try to choke each other, and I really love that. I love that about you two guys.
I have nothing but I want everybody to succeed, and I don't think I come off as an ass, but for instance, Jamie and I, Blue Belt Jamie, we ended up getting paired up somehow, which wouldn't usually happen. I don't know. We didn't build the wall or build, build the line?
Build the hall, yeah.
Build the hall. And we ended up getting paired together, and she had her hands out like this, so I grabbed her wrists and held on to them. And she was getting frustrated, and she said, "You know I only weigh 115 pounds. And I said, I know, but you shouldn't keep your wrists out here like that.
Right.
And then she went on to win the fucking Nogi Worlds.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm hoping that, unfortunately, I haven't seen her match, but I'm thinking that she didn't keep her wrists out there like that.
Right, right. So, I've seen her match, and let me tell you, she about threw this poor girl out of the arena. Yeah. It was amazing. A beautiful hip toss twice. Cool. But yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, as we get to know each other, that's one reason why I'm doing this podcast. You know, look, if it blows up and we have millions of listeners, amazing. But really, I'm doing this part, this Follow the Plan series about jiu-jitsu with everyone from our school, so we can all get to know each other better. And for other people outside to learn about jiu-jitsu and learn about things and the way we attribute the lessons we learn in jiu-jitsu to life, but also selfishly for our own school, because I think if more people get to know you and get to know each other and understand each other better, we will continue to accept each other even more than we all already do, not just for the training aspect, but as individuals. And I think that's a great story that you just said, because when we're on the mat, we're thinking about jiu-jitsu. And, you know, and for her to I don't know, I've never spoke to her about it, but for her to hear that like your intentions were to make her better. And I'm sure it was frustrating for her, and specifically for the women and for the lighter people. You know, I get it all the time where I get a big guy on me and I'm like, holy crap, this is frustrating as hell. But I know their intentions are to make me better. And I think that's great for people to hear. You know?
Yeah, and then speaking of females, going with Allie, she's like fucking Tasmanian devil.
Right.
And so, not just the girls, and then Master Ken, and some of the new guys, like, I'll put them in a position, and I'll hold it, because I want them to learn how to get out of it, and I'll coach them how to get out of it if they can't figure it out, so that when you are competing and someone puts you in a position like that, you'll know how to get out of it.
Right, right.
You know, you'll know exactly what to do.
And isn't that so with life? I mean, isn't that kind of the goal with life? Like we need to learn experience. It's just it's just wisdom. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's wisdom. You know, the cool thing about jiu-jitsu is like in order to get better, you have to be in those positions, right? You have to be in those positions or you can't learn. You can watch all the freaking YouTube videos. You can watch Instagram all day long. But until you're on the mat and in those positions, especially with someone who's a little stronger or a little bigger or a higher level, that is not going to just relinquish that control automatically because they know you can't get out of it. When you, for instance, are going to force me, you're going to hold me in a position or put me in a position, it's going to force me to think. And I think that's great. I think that's good for our school. And I think that's just another way that we can attribute jiu-jitsu to life.
Yeah. And your particular incident, you said you weren't ready to come back and be on the mat. And I said, well, they just come out and we'll drill. Because drilling is not only good for you, it's good for me too.
Right, right.
So just get back on the mat.
Thanks for making me work today, man. You put me on a bicycle today. I rode a bicycle for 2 blocks.
Knocked out some pull-ups, bro.
Did a few pull-ups. Key word here is a few.
No, you're good.
I'll be paying for it. But listen, thanks so much for sitting down with me.
Cool, man.
I know
you
got some kids to play with, but let's do it again.
Definitely. Anytime. The setting, the...
Cheers. I'm empty with mine, but cheers. Thanks so much.
Thanks for bringing the beer, man. All right, you're awesome.
Thank you.
You bet.